I'm so grateful for our Kingdom Kids kind of outlining for us God's top 10, the Ten Commandments, God's instructions to us of how to live, how to worship Him. And right in the middle of God's top 10 is number 5. You remember what it is? Honor your mom and dad. I look forward to seeing how many households are going to have pom-poms around the table this afternoon. Maybe you need to borrow some. You can talk to Jerry Jackson, just get them back to her. But maybe some of you kids need pom-poms to celebrate and to honor our moms today. It's a significant instruction from the Lord. In fact, it's repeated in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, where he says, children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may have a long life in the end. Now there's an hallelujah, amen. We're to honor the Lord by honoring our parents. And there's a reward, a promise, a benefit from honoring our parents as we with the Lord. It's that we'll have a great life. Not necessarily long life in terms of years, because genetics, health history, God's sovereignty, all those things come into play. And so maybe it's not so much a promise as it is a principle, like we find in Proverbs, of following the path that leads to honoring the Lord by following the path that leads, path that our parents lead us in. Children who obey their parents avoid the things, avoid the relationships, avoid the paths of life that would otherwise destroy their lives. Destroy our lives. And so obeying your parents is more than just obedience on the external. It's really more of what's going on in the inside, what's going on in the heart. Because it's not only obeying our parents, but he goes on to say it's honoring your father and mother. And I think there's an aspect of honoring our parents regardless of our age. We may not necessarily need to obey our parents as we become adults and exercise the independence that God wants us to have from our parents. But we think we all know that as we follow Jesus Christ, it's not pursuing an independence of ourselves. Really, following Christ more and more is a greater and greater dependence upon the Lord. That we all want our children to grow up, to become independent of us, and become more and more dependent upon the Lord. And that's where the honoring our parents comes in. That we're to honor our parents in the same way that we want to bring honor to the Lord. Not necessarily obedience, but respect. Following the things that godly parents have taught us, whether they're our biological parents or godly role models. And this church is filled with them. Great moms and dads, grandparents, role models, that we should honor the Lord by honoring them and following them. This honoring is a greater concept than obeying. It involves this internal attitude of love that transcends and goes above and beyond external obedience. In fact, that's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about, that Warren Mull is teaching on Sunday mornings in our Life Connection classes. That following God's top 10 is not just what we do with our hands. It's more importantly what we do with our hearts. So some of you may be wondering about these 10 commandments and thinking, well, as New Testament believers, are we still supposed to follow the 10 commandments? Do they still apply to us? Well, Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 7, and throughout the New Testament, there it's there. But I think particularly Romans 7 addresses this, where he says, therefore, my brothers, you also were put to death in relation to the law through the crucified body of the Messiah, so that you may belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we may bear fruit for God. And going on in verse 6, in chapter 7 of Romans, he says, but now we have been released from the law, since we've died to what held us, so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old letter of the law. Here's what happened. Christ's death on the cross in our place, his substitute death for us, changed our relationship to the law. Where the law was given to Israel, was given to God's people so that they would know God by faith, know who he is, and how he wanted them to live. But also, a part of the law is an understanding that there is never a way that they could fulfill it on their own. That built into the old covenant were the sacrifices, where they would return to the Lord, confess their sin, acknowledge their complete dependence upon him. And so the sacrifices were to be given by faith, that although God said it has a standard, they could never live it to it on their own. And so through Christ, our relationship to the law changed. Because through the law, we find condemnation, death, shame. But through Christ and his death in our place, fulfilling the law, sinless, perfect, once and for all satisfaction of God's law, we no longer follow the law on our own. Instead, we follow the law of Christ. Paul talks about that in Galatians. And throughout the New Testament, we find that the law of Christ includes 9 of the 10 commandments of the Old Testament. The only one that's not repeated in the New Testament is about the Sabbath. But there's still some principles about rest, about honoring the Lord. And so God has given us his top 10 list that we don't live to fulfill on our own. Instead, it's been fulfilled by Christ. And so how do we live in relationship to God? It's by trusting and depending upon Christ, who he is and what he's done for us on the cross. And so we want to follow the Lord and honor him, but it's no longer on our own strength. Instead, the new covenant, based upon the sacrificial death of Christ in our place, we follow him by the Spirit, by what God is doing in us and through us, recognizing that we still fall short of God's standard of holiness. But instead of condemnation from the law, there's forgiveness through Christ and his finished work on the cross. The sin in the law of the Old Testament no longer condemn us, no longer dominate us, no longer control us, no longer drive us. So what does? The new way of the Spirit. By following God, by faith, in the finished work of Christ. That Christ's death in our place empowers us to truly honor the Lord in all the ways that he wants us to, including honoring our parents, including honoring the Lord by honoring our moms, not just on Mother's Day, but in every opportunity we have. Maybe too often today, it seems that people in our world don't see that Christianity is relevant, because all they see are rules that they just don't get. Most of our world could probably come pretty close to naming the Ten Commandments. They just don't get it. It seems too constricting, too confining. But rules and rituals never saved. It was always a relationship with God by faith in his revelation. A relationship with God was always based upon following God by faith, including the sacrifices of the Old Testament, that by faith in God's provision forgave their sin. And it's really no different for us today. That our forgiveness is not based upon what we do. It's based upon who God is and what he's done, what he's provided. And he provided through his one and only perfect, sinless son, a sacrifice in our place. And that by faith in God's sacrifice of his son, we find forgiveness, reconciliation with God, a renewed relationship that he's always longed for with us, that was separated, that we were separated from him, from his holiness by our sin. And so what did the law do? It simply pointed out our sinfulness. The old covenant pointed out that we were dead in our sins. The new covenant, established by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, points out that we're still sinners, but that he is our sacrifice. Hebrews tells us that through the new covenant, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that God's law is no longer written on tablets of stone, but it's in our minds. It's written on our hearts to follow God by faith. The Apostle John, in John chapter 1, said the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who established this new covenant through his blood. What we could never have by trying to follow a code of law, but only comes by following our Savior Jesus, knowing him, trusting him, finding grace and truth in him, and through him, fulfilling the greatest commandments, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we do that not in our own goodwill and our own abilities, but by the Spirit of Christ in us. And we do that by loving our neighbor as ourself. Not because we have the ability to love in ourselves. The law points out that we can't. But instead, to find the Christ-like love that we have through his Spirit, to love others as he has first loved us, to forgive others as he has forgiven us. And maybe nowhere is Christ-like love needed and necessary and required than in our homes, in our families, because we're all sinners. We all need grace. Moms need grace. Children need grace. Parents need grace. Spouses need grace. And the truth is not only of our need for grace, but the truth is that God provided it through his son Jesus. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he taught his disciples, and including us, that the new covenant was established through his sacrificial death. The night that he was betrayed, he took bread with his disciples. He broke it and he gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat it. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus gave his body and he poured out his blood, not just for his disciples sitting around the table, but for us gathered here together this morning, for moms and dads, for sons and daughters. It's given for us. And in remembrance of me, Jesus encouraged his disciples not to focus just on what he was about to do, and not even for us to focus on what he's done, but in remembrance of him. That our worship and our remembrance is not looking to an object of the cross. It's looking to the person of Jesus who died on the cross in our place to bring us life in him. So that we could be his people, so that we could be his sons and daughters, so that God could make his dwelling in us and among us. It's by remembering Jesus and living by the power of his Spirit that he promised to send to us, to be in us and with us, that we fulfill the law of Christ, that we worship the Lord, that we bring honor to him, including honoring our moms. This morning, we gather around this table in remembrance, not just of who God is and what he did through Israel, what he did for us on the cross, not just what he did by the power of the resurrection, but who he is as a holy God, who is good, who is loving, who has given us all good and perfect gifts, including his one and only son, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you haven't placed your trust in Christ, maybe you've been trying to measure up to a code of rules. Maybe you've been walking through the motions and trying to measure up to God by what you do, following a ritual. I think if we learn anything from the Ten Commandments, from God's top 10 list, we learn that there's no way that any man, woman, boy or girl could measure up by living according to God's law. We all fail. Maybe you're here this morning. What you need to do this morning is to place your trust in the person of Jesus Christ, God's eternal, sinless Son who died on the cross, fulfilling the law for you and me so that we could have his righteousness. You do that by simply where you are, knowing that God knows your heart, he knows your mind, and just acknowledging your sin, your need for a Savior, who is Jesus Christ. And right where you are saying, Jesus, I believe that you died in my place and rose from the dead, and I have forgiveness of sin and eternal life with you.